to federal politics, the by-election in Monaro, which of course mandatorily must be referred to as a bellwether seat, occurred last night. The ABC's Kathleen Calderwood is in Murrimbula and she's covering the aftermath of the poll, which was triggered by the resignation of the seat's long-standing Labor MP, Mike Kelly, who stepped down for health reasons at the end of April. It was a tight race between Labor's Kirsty McBain and Liberal Fiona Kotvoyce, and Kathleen is here to give us the wrap. Good morning, Kathleen.
Good morning, Julian.
Well, look, the most reliable source in the country, Anthony Green, has called Eden Monaro, but the AEC hasn't quite yet. What is the current state of the vote?
Look, they've counted about 77% of the vote. They would have just begun counting again. They were starting again at 9 a.m. this morning. So at the moment, it's an extremely narrow margin, less than 1%. I think from memory, Kirsty McBain sitting on about 50.4% of the vote after preferences. So very, very close. It is, of course, a marginal seat, so that's not really unusual here. But... and as you said, Anthony Green called the result late last night, after midnight. But at that point, both the Liberal candidate Fiona Kotvoyce and Kirsty McBain from Labor had given their speeches to their supporters, who'd been waiting patiently all evening for the result. So neither have conceded or claimed victory. Both sort of expressed very, you know, sincere and similar sentiments about the long way this region has to go in its recovery from the bushfires, and also, I guess, the economic effects of COVID-19. So both expressing their desire to support the community through that, regardless, really, of who won at the end of the day.
In terms of trends amongst the minor parties and individual and sort of independent candidates, what were the key trends there, and how have they played out in terms of the two-party preferred vote?
So the first preference vote actually, I think, was going more to the Liberals. There was a swing towards the Liberals on first preferences. There was a large swing to the Shooters, Fishers and Farmers, but they've actually never run a candidate in this seat before. So I think the preferences from the Shooters, Fishers and Farmers were mainly running to Labor. Of course, the preferences from the Greens were going to Labor, and then there was that bit of argy-bargy about where the Nationals' preferences were going, but I think it's largely accepted that their how-to-vote cards, at least, were saying to vote, to give the preferences to the Liberals. So that's, as I said, there was that swing in the primary vote towards the Liberals, but Labor has come ahead through those preference votes.
And, of course, if Labor holds the seat, then that's not going to sort of dramatically change things in terms of the balance of power in Canberra. It's the perennial question when there's a by-election. How much do you think that this this poll was about local issues, or, and how much was it a sort of referendum on the national performance of the leaders and the parties?
Look, I think what really shone through to me, I'm a Sydney reporter normally, and I've come down for a few days to report on this. And I think what really shone through to me was that while there was this huge amount of national interest in this election because of, you know, the bellwether status and the by-election and the COVID-19 and everything, people here were really, they were most interested in the local issues. This area has just been absolutely decimated by the bushfires. There are people in towns like Cobargo who lost their homes and are still living in caravans and temporary accommodation. So I think we saw that particularly on the far south coast, most of the booths went to Labor. So I think that's really sending a strong message that this area still needs a lot of help. It's 6 months on and you know, people are still living in caravans. They still need a lot of help. So it is a local seat at a normal general election. I don't think you'd see this much media attention on Eden Monaro necessarily. But really, it's an opportunity for Kirsty McBain, if she does in fact win, which it looks like, of course, that she will, to really capitalise on this national attention, I think, to get the message out there that people here are still really suffering. You go into the mountains and the tourism businesses that, you know, rely on the ski fields, they're suffering a lot as well economically. They're very reliant on JobKeeper. There was a lot of talk in the campaigning about JobKeeper. Yeah. So there's a lot of those issues that I guess are a microcosm here, but are representative of things that are happening all around the country. And Christy McBain, who at the end of the day is a local candidate, she's the former mayor of the Bega Valley, has this incredible opportunity to really get some national interest in the things that are going on in her local electorate. So while there was all that national attention and what it would mean for the government, I think really for people on the ground, it was about those local issues, and that's where it was won and lost.
And just finally, Kathleen, of course, this was the, you know, one of the first big, well, the first big poll in the post-COVID-19 era. How different was the process of voting and the count because of COVID-19?
Yeah, look, that was quite interesting too. So firstly, there was a huge number of postal and pre-poll votes, more than 40,000 people. I think the number of registered electors in this electorate is about 110,000, 120,000. About 43,000 or 44,000 either pre-polled or postal voted. So that's a huge number for an electorate. And of course you don't have absentee votes in a by-election, so there's a section there that might have missed out. And that, of course, slowed things down. That's why we didn't see that result come through until very late in the night. I think all the actual physical election polls that voted yesterday had election booth, I should say, were counted by about 9 o'clock, and it really was just that waiting game then of where the postal votes were going to go and where the pre-poll votes were going to go. And because it was such a large number, they really would have an impact on which way it would swing. And that's why I think Anthony Green didn't call it earlier. He did actually make a comment that if it was a general election, he would have called it much earlier.
Oh, yeah.
But because it's a by-election, there were so many postal votes, he was a bit reluctant to call it.
Well, that seems like a sign of things to come.
Yeah, that's right. In terms of, I guess, the experience of voting on the day, I really noticed a lot of people just getting in and out. Obviously, there was social distancing in the actual polling booths. There was like a sneeze guard between the AEC staff and the voters when they were collecting their papers. Lots of hand sanitizer. I was told initially there would be no democracy sausages or anything like that, but I did see reports of one sausage sizzle up in the mountains
That is a huge relief. Good to know that there are still some COVID-safe democracy sausages. Kathleen Calderwood, thank you so much for comprehensive update on the Eden Monaro by-election. Kathleen Calderwood there, the ABC representative on the ground in Eden Monaro.